Thanks, Steve. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. We're 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. Alexander Zalbin joins us right now. Alex is the managing editor of Decider.com. Great website. Alex, we haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. I have to, before anything else, I need to thank you for something, because on this show 3 weeks ago, you told Wendy and me and all of our listeners about a show that was coming out. It hadn't premiered yet. It was just breaking on Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House. And you talked about how scary it was and how great it was. You nailed it, sir.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you guys liked it. That's one, it's been kind of amazing to watch that really build and pick up steam over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of Netflix shows fall off after the first weekend. Not that one. It's great. And for anybody listening who hasn't checked it out yet, definitely head and check it out right now.
I have to pile on that. Thank you, Bill, because really, I have enjoyed it with one of my sons trying to talk the other one into watching it. It got better each week. It really, truly did. I want more.
Well, I don't know if we're going to see more necessarily, since it is a little bit of a limited series event. But I believe the creator, Mike Flanagan, has some ideas if they do want to move forward with the second season. It may or may not follow the same characters. It may not, or may not follow the same plot. But it's such a big hit at this point that I imagine Netflix is interested, even if Flanagan isn't.
I always wonder how they figure out a formula. I think you put Stranger Things into that same category, where they're putting out a product and they kind of make it open-ended, but not really at the end, just in case they get picked up. I almost hope that there isn't a second season, because I liked it being kind of a self-contained story. I don't want them to water it down. You get that? You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, Mike Flanagan is a horror guy through and through. He has this crew that he works with, that he worked with on Haunting of Hill House as well. My guess, just based on his past catalog, is he will move on to something different with the same actors. But we'll have to see. Again, it seems like it's a big hit and only getting bigger, so their pressure is probably on from Netflix.
Yeah.
And Bill pointed out, which I didn't realize at first, it was the kid from E.T.
Henry Thomas.
And then also Russ Tamblyn, who was in the original Haunting movie from 1963, shows up in this as well.
Yeah, there's also a whole bunch of character actors from Mike Flanagan's other stuff that he's done. A couple of them are on Netflix. I'm blanking on the exact titles at the moment, but I'll try to look them up for you. But go back and watch them, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if you have already binged through Haunting of Hill House. Oculus, Ouija, Gerald's Game, Hush. Check them all out, because you'll see the same people popping up again and again.
Testament to how good he is when people want to keep working with him over and over. So that's good news. Julia Roberts, a major movie star, one of those people that you go, she doesn't need to do TV. She can do whatever movie she wants to do. But here she is in a TV show, Homecoming. What can you tell us?
So that all hits Prime Video today. It's 10 episodes, I believe. It's a drama, but one of the great things about it is it's actually only half-hour episodes, so it's very easily bingeable. Every episode was directed by Mr. Robot creator Sam Esmail, and it's based on the Gimlet podcast of the same name, also called Homecoming. It is, and I don't say this with any hyperbole, one of the best TV shows of the year. I've watched all of it already. I don't want to tell you too much about it, other than it takes place at a facility called Homecoming that ostensibly seems like it's set up to welcome soldiers back and ease them back into society. And Julia Roberts is the therapist who works there with them. But there's a lot of other stuff going on. It plays out like a Hitchcock thriller. It's so excellently placed. The performances are wonderful. And it's actually even funny at times. Do not miss this show.
Again, it's called Homecoming. So, Alex, what's in it for a star the magnitude of Julia Roberts? There was a time where if you were a Hollywood A-lister, you wouldn't want to do a TV show, but those lines have been crossed, right? That's no longer the way it is.
I think they're gone at this point, honestly. I think TV isn't seen as slumming it for a big actor anymore. Julia Roberts is one of those last standouts that made the leap to TV, so it still feels like a big deal that she's coming and doing this, particularly because she's going the route of she's wearing a very dowdy-looking wig. She works at a bar at one point in this very rundown bar, so it's not like big, glamorous Julia Roberts movie star. It's more in lines of Erin Brockovich. But you get to explore a character over a long longer period of time. A movie is so big, they come in, they point at your face, say, action, and you say, hello, and then they say, cut, and that's it for your day. You know, that's all you're doing. TV, the schedule is faster, so you actually get to do some acting. Plus, over 10 episodes, you really get to delve into and dig into what a character is and what makes them tick. So there's this funny mix, I think, particularly for actors of Julia Roberts' standard or the women on Big Little Lies or something like that, where they can do things quicker, so it feels like you're doing more, but also you get to spend more time on the thing.
It's funny you brought up Big Little Lies, because in their second season, Meryl Streep joins the cast. And again, that's another actress you'd say, Meryl Streep isn't going to do a TV show, but nope, she is going to do a TV show.
Well, at the point that you have, you know, Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and Shailene Woodley as well in the cast as everybody else is in Big Little Lies, I think Meryl Streep in particular seems to be at the point of the career where she's saying, what sounds fun to me? I'm going to do that. And hanging out with them on a set for a couple of months is probably a lot of fun.
Yep, makes perfect sense. Alexander Zalbin is our guest. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like show business, entertainment, television. We'll take a quick break and then continue this discussion next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, I cannot wait.
We're talking television with Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. Big night Sunday for Walking Dead fans. What can you tell us without giving too much away, Alexander?
Sure. First of all, I love the music coming in. That's very exciting. second of all, so this is Andrew Lincoln's last episode on the show is this Sunday. This is a big deal. He's been the anchor of the show, both in front of the camera and behind the scenes for over eight, going into nine seasons now. He's one of the highest paid actors on TV. It, you know, has fallen off in the ratings a bit, but it's still one of the biggest shows on TV. So him leaving leaves a huge hole in the show going forward. Nobody is quite sure exactly what is going to happen to The Walking Dead or what it's going to be like or how Andrew Lincoln is going to exit. Certainly those who watched last week know there was a bit of a cliffhanger in terms of Rick Grimes' fate. So certainly we'll be picking up with that.
He can't go that way. He cannot go that way.
Wendy says that's no way for a man to die.
Not Rick.
Yeah. Can we talk about what happened at the end of the last episode, or do you not want to spoil it?
Can
we give a little, if you don't want to know, maybe come back in several minutes?
Yeah, let's say that. If you don't want to know what happened at the end of last week, come back in a minute and a half.
After spending the entire episode in a literal hole with Daryl Dixon, he crawled out and was riding on a horse, leading a herd towards a bridge that he was hoping would break and get rid of the zombie herd. When the horse encountered another herd, the horse freaked out, threw Rick onto some concrete. He landed on some rebar and impaled himself. We left the episode with Rick Grimes completely alone, two enormous herds of zombies approaching him.
One from each direction.
What?
One from each direction. Yep. So it's epic. I get
it. Each direction. So I will agree with you. I think I don't want to see Rick go out like that. I want to see him go out
as a hero.
As the most heroic way you possibly can. And the thing that I will say that I know about the show, even at the end of the last episode watching it, I felt like we've seen this happen on this show before, where somebody's completely surrounded by zombies and then something happens and they get out of it.
Yeah.
This seems way worse than anything that's happened before, but he's Rick Grimes, and I feel pretty confident that he's going to figure out some way out of this thing, though, as we know, since this is the last episode, he probably won't see his way out of it for very long.
I have a theory, and it's not going to work, although you never know. I felt he should die at the hands of Negan, like perhaps Michonne is trying to give Negan some food or something, and Negan gets loose and kills Rick. That, to me, would be the way to go.
I think that would be interesting, but just to continue the speculation, my concern about something like that is I feel like that would alienate a lot of the fan base.
Oh.
Certainly, that would be appropriate in terms of the level of thing that kills him.
Yeah.
But you would then have Negan triumphant and Rick losing, and that would be a huge bummer.
Oh.
That would be a sad way to go. So, I don't know. We'll see Sunday. We'll also see how many people tune in. I think that'll be another interesting thing to check out because they have been hyping this so much.
Can I tell you my pick, Alexander, for I think he should die?
Yeah.
Jet ski accident.
Literally jumping over a shark?
Yeah, jumping over a shark, a symbolic shark.
All right, that would be awesome.
That would be funny. So this, with the departure of him and his character, this leaves just two cast members, right, who were there from day one.
No, there are more.
No, two,
You've got Daryl.
And Carol. And that's it.
And Maggie.
She came in season two, at the end of season two.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. She was when they went to the farmhouse. Remember the farm?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So just two, right?
And she's actually going to be leaving. Yeah. She's going to be leaving pretty soon.
She's getting too mean. She needs to leave.
Wendy says she's too mean.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So big night Sunday for Walking Dead fans, the final episode of Rick Grimes. In retrospect, I know we don't have a whole lot of time to cover this, but do you think they would have preferred that people not know? I mean, everybody knows it's his last episode, but wouldn't it be more indelible, more of a shock to the viewer to just kill him out of nowhere?
Yep.
Yes, I think so. But I think at the same time, as usual with the show, they'll have a couple of surprises in store. So we'll have to see how everything pans out.
All right. All right. House of Cards, something of a shift after the departure of Kevin Spacey. What can you tell us there?
So, yeah, that all dropped on Netflix today. That is the final season of the show. Our reviewer, Megan O'Keefe, loved it because of how insane it was. She's watched most of the season already. Greg Kinnear and Diane Lane are filling the void left by Kevin Spacey. And a lot of the season seems to be, at least early going, the mystery of what happened to his character and what Claire Underwood, his wife, did to him. So stay tuned as it all wraps up. It should be tricky and weird and crazy over the top.
Alex, is she now the president on the show? Is his wife the president?
She is now. Yeah, she is. Robin Wright is now the president of the United States.
So how, I'm trying to figure out how that would work
was.
Because just on the show. So if you're the president and something happens to you, your wife just doesn't get the office. The vice president gets the office. But she wasn't vice president, was she?
I'll be honest with you. I tuned out of House of Cards after the first half of the first episode.
Oh. Oh, so, right.
I've never watched it.
But I assume it's never happened in history, so I assume it has to be accurate. It's
basically a
documentary.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Game of Thrones has one final season, but there's going to be is it a prequel or a sequel to it?
Well, there is going to be a prequel. Yeah, it's called The Long Night. We don't know when it's going to be on. George R. R. Martin kind of leaked accidentally that title the other day. Naomi Watts is going to star in it.
Wow.
And we don't know a lot about it other than it takes place thousands of years before Game of Thrones and supposedly reveals the dark secrets of the history of Westeros that we don't know.
Oh, all right. And when does that start up?
We don't know at this point. The prequel has just started casting. They're going to film it pretty soon. But HBO likes to be very careful with these things. Not a lot of people know this, but Game of Thrones actually shot an entire pilot with a mostly different cast for Game of Thrones and then completely scrapped it and went and had a second go at it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're hoping not to do that with this Game of Thrones prequel, but they're being very, very careful with it.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, one of the stars of Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage, has a movie on HBO where he plays Hervé Valachez. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but one of our reviewers, Leah Palmieri, saw it, and she thought it was charming and fun. And even more than Peter Dinklage, he co-stars with Jamie Dornan, who starred in the 50 Shades movies.
Yeah.
And she liked him a lot in it. She felt like he certainly makes it more of a case for his career going forward out of those movies.
Jamie Dornan, right?
Jamie Dornan, yeah.
He was good in it. I watched it the other day. I was very disappointed in it. When I first heard about this, I went, boy, this is going to be gold. Peter Dinklage is playing Hervé Valachez. How can this not be great? I was not that impressed by it. It didn't do much for me.
Yeah, it seemed like a small movie all told, which is not necessarily what you expect from these HBO original movies. They're usually big, bolder things like Al Pacino taking on Paterno or things like that.
Yeah.
But this one seemed all right.
That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. It was all right. It was just okay. And I just have to ask your opinion. I watched Will and Grace yesterday, a really interesting episode where Grace's character confesses to her dad that as a child, she had been molested by a family friend for a comedy to pull out something that serious isn't always the easiest thing to do. But boy, were they good at it. Did you get to see that episode?
I have not, but I know that's something that Will and Grace actually does really well, and Deborah Messing in particular is very politically active and involved, so I'm not surprised that they went there with the episode. It's also just something that I think is part and parcel with the show. It does deliver nonstop laughs, but it's always baked into the DNA of it that they're going to be taking on issues and trying to push the envelope as much as possible.
So hard to pull off both at the same time. But if you want to see an example of somebody who did it, they pulled it off. It was it was so moving and touching and upsetting, and yet there were moments of really it being very funny, like Will and Grace does. I was really impressed. Great show. Alex, thank you so much, as always. Really appreciate it. We'll all be watching Walking Dead this Sunday, anxious to see how it turns out. And
Better be good.
It better be. Wendy, it's throwing
That's
it down.
That's all I'm saying.
It better be good. It'll be good. Alex, we'll talk to you in a week. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. We'll take a little break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.